Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
She is from Duquesne University School of Law, associate professor, where she teaches contract, employment, discrimination, family law courses. Rona Kaufman, professor, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I saw you had a conversation with Ken Rice last week on KDK TV, and I thought, wow, and this social media thing has really blown up since, in addition to the president being permanently removed from Twitter. And I saw the list of all the different social media outlets who have now banned him, which you name it, YouTube, Facebook, Google, Stripe, Spotify, TikTok, oddly enough, TikTok, Apple, and a whole list of platforms that have banned or restricted the president. And you hear people say that's an impingement of free speech. But these are private companies, correct? So from a legal standpoint, where would the president stand?
Right. So it's actually very simple. I mean, you know, some people start this conversation, oh, this is really complicated. It's really hard to figure. It's really not hard to figure out. So the Constitution, we have a Bill of Rights. That Bill of Rights protects all Americans, all of us, from acts of the government. And one of the rights that we hold actually in the First Amendment is the freedom of speech. And the freedom of speech, the text simply says that Congress shall make no law that shall abridge the freedom of speech. So Congress, if Congress had passed a law that said that certain content was prohibited on Twitter, which in fact, actually, Congress often does pass laws that regulate speech. Nevertheless, if Congress had passed a law that regulated President Trump's speech or anyone's speech, it would be subject to constitutional challenge. But that hasn't happened. These are private companies, and they are in no way bound by the First Amendment.
And do you think that a lot of people just want consistency from these social media companies because of, I mean, they treat the president one way, yet, you know, other world leaders or, you know, like the leader of Iran is on there as well saying different propaganda. So do you think that consistency is needed?
I think that probably people want consistency. I think there is some basic confusion about what the First Amendment is. So I think that people are under the assumption that these companies are not allowed to regulate our speech, when in fact they are. I think also the people's expectation is not so unreasonable, right? So there are certain forums that are public, or are private rather, that feel public. So for example, you know, once upon a time, pre-internet, it used to be the mall. Right? People would go to the mall. The mall felt like the public square, but it's not the public square, right? It's different if you go downtown and you're in, you know, Market Square. That feels public. And that, you know, that's what we kind of quintessentially think of as public, while the mall really is private. And so there are certain forums that the Supreme Court over the years has identified to have enough of a public character that it is harder. Even when those spaces are private, it's harder for those private owners of those spaces to regulate them. So some people would like to see the internet be considered more akin to these public spaces. That's not currently the case. Right now, the internet is still considered private. And in fact, there's actually a law that Congress passed in 1996 that strengthens the internet company's freedom to decide what speech they're going to allow and what speech not to allow, in that no one can sue an internet provider for the speech of their users. So there was an opportunity to regulate how the internet regulates speech. And both Democrats and Republicans have been both supportive and against the idea that internet companies should basically have no liability for anything anyone says. So, in fact, anything Trump says, the internet companies, you know, anything anyone says, the lies that people post on the internet, which they do all the time, internet companies can't be held liable for those lies. So internet companies have really been very lax. They have not regulated all sorts, like you're saying, right? Like the leader of Iran, right? Internet companies have been very lax. Why they're deciding at this particular moment, to ban President Trump's speech, that's, you know, a decision they've come to.
We're with Rona Coffin, Associate Professor of Law at Duquesne University. That law, which they were trying to revoke just recently, apparently, though, with the election in Carolina, it doesn't look like they'll have the votes to change it either.
It's really interesting. So it's Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. President Trump himself wanted to revoke that law, as did Democrats. This actually is not a partisan issue. It's not that the Democrats are on one side and the Republicans are on the other side. There are many members of each party that would like to see the Communications Decency Act, would like to see that revoked, because there is, you know, as we all know, social media, and as we saw this week, arguably, social media has allowed for the proliferation of hate groups, hate speech, violent protests, not just in the United States. I mean, this is a real concern across the world. We are seeing that, you know, genocides are being aided by internet speech. So there's a real concern in country, you know, across the world about unregulated speech on the internet. And that's not an issue that is partisan. It shouldn't be partisan, just like protecting free speech, just like protecting speech from government censure should be not partisan, right? Everyone in America, and every American who cares about the Constitution and cares about our freedom, should care that the Congress and the states never be allowed to abridge our freedom of speech. So too should we be concerned about the proliferation, all of us who care about democracy should be concerned about the proliferation of hate speech on social media sites. In this case, if it happens to be that the president is spreading that speech, we should be concerned. But you're right, like you said about consistency, we should also be concerned that Hamas has accounts. Hamas shouldn't have accounts, as far as I'm concerned, if we care about hate speech.
Yeah, and you know, the internet has made the world so small right now that, you know, you can say something here in Pittsburgh and affect something in the Mideast or vice versa, which is mind-boggling to a lot of people. And earlier I said Jeff Bezos is the most powerful person on the planet. One, he's worth $184 billion, but he controls Amazon. I mean, it's his company, which is where a lot of our information funnels through his servers. So you said the decision, they came to the conclusion, they came to a decision to block the president or whoever they decide to block. Was there collusion between various companies like Twitter and Amazon because they all blocked the president pretty much, or Parler as well, pretty much overnight?
Yeah, so I actually don't know how they're, right? I would love to be a fly on the wall in these meetings. I don't know if these people are meeting, and having these conversations. There's a really great documentary called The Social Network on Netflix that really does talk about the idea that there are a very small number of white men in Silicon Valley that are not only controlling speech, which they're barely controlling, but are controlling really all of our thoughts because of the algorithms that are used to feed us the information that we are all being fed on social media, and not just social media, even through Google, right? And so, there is definitely a sense that there is a very small group of people who are in control of a vast amount of our communication, and not just what we are kind of putting out in the world through our own posts as users, which we as individuals all feel like, oh, I'm posting this because I wanted to post this, but also the posts that we see, right? We're all mm-hmm. living in these little echo chambers where we only see what they want us to see. We think we only see what we're seeking out, but apparently that's not true. There are supercomputers, you know, underground that are larger than I knew they built computers to be anymore, that are, you know, quite simply smarter than us. Like, I would love to think that I'm immune from this. I also have a Facebook account, and I'm on LinkedIn, and I from time to time try and limit my social media use because I'm concerned that, you know, as smart as I am, I'm not as smart as these supercomputers. They can trick me, and they can, you know, feed me information. And we're living in what appears to be kind of a dangerous time as far as political polarization. Many people would argue that it's the way that social media has been left unregulated that is really causing a lot of the problems that we're seeing in our society today.
And as you know, Professor, there is a movement to view some of these social media outlets as monopolies and find ways to break them up. So we'll save that discussion for another time, but appreciate yours this morning. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.